My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Back in here on the 2024 NFL Draft coverage here on 610 Sports Radio, the Odyssey app, however you're listening to us, we appreciate it. Christian Ocero, Jay Binkley. Chiefs have made two picks here just a few minutes ago, and they took tight end Jared Wiley out of TCU. You were talking about the leader in receiving touchdowns for all of tight ends in the FBS. He was also an honorable mention all Big 12. And then you get what some believe is the best safety in this draft class, Jaden Hicks from Washington State. You read the profile for him. It sounds a lot like Chamari Connor from last year. Chamari Connor, someone that the Chiefs were like Bink's favorite player from last year's draft. I know that we've already gotten some sentiment on the Jay Southland Toast Service text line, which is 913-586-7610. People feeling like, yeah, there's other options that could have gone. And I get it. I understand, like, you know, certainly a backup tight end isn't going to be something that really kind of interests a lot of people, or getting another safety on the roster. That's not going to be something that appeals to a whole lot of people. I understand. Two things, though. One, the board probably has not worked out the way that the Chiefs have wanted. And the Chiefs, I'm sure that they don't want to sit around and trade up every single round to go get picks. Like, I mean, you still at some point got to start just making the picks and getting some value out of it. And I think that's, I'm sure that when we get the press conferences and we hear about like how the Chiefs handled day three, a big talk is going to be, man, we just didn't want to keep trading up in every round, because they've had to trade up in the two rounds that they made picks in, and they had to get rid of their third round pick in order to be able to go get Xavier Worthy. So it makes a lot of sense why they would sit here. And on top of that, big run on corner in the second round. Some of the corners that were still left over here in the fourth round are gone. A lot of the corners that, you know, would have been scheme fits, gone. The ones that are left, I don't really know if there is a scheme fit for them. I know a lot of people like Chris Abrams, Drain. I don't think he really kind of fits in with the team. I think size-wise, it kind of hurts. But you look at Jaden Hicks, and I think that he kind of gives you the value you like there as a potential slot corner slash safety for them.
And with Braylon Allen ending the fourth round, we move to the fifth.
Arizona also got Jacob Cowley.
Okay, Cowley, yeah, the wide receiver out of Arizona.
Yeah, wide receiver. And that a lot of people liked. A lot of people liked him because of his speed.
So running back, wide receiver before we hit to the fifth.
So in the fifth, thus far, the Seattle Seahawks took Nehemiah Pritchett, a cornerback out of Auburn. And then the Chargers took Tarib Still, a cornerback out of Maryland. And then the Arizona Cardinals took Xavier Thomas, an edge rusher out of Clemson. So we're starting to get things rolling here in the early fifth round. The Kansas City Chiefs do have one pick in the round. It is sitting right there at pick 159. We are at pick 139. We have less than an hour left in the show, so We will see if we can get that one in here before we get done here today.
All right, I've got a question. I guess the other one's more of a statement than a question, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. So my first is that more statement. We were talking about, you know, the Chiefs drafted a safety that's, you know, more athletic, can play all around the field. Do you guys think that those sort of players are going to become more valuable with the new kickoff rules in the sense that you need guys that are going to be able to actually do kick coverage again because you can't just punt the ball out of the back of the end zone anymore?
I do think that the Chiefs, I'll say this, like, I think the Chiefs have always taken special teams very seriously, especially when it comes to kick coverage, because Andy, he understands the value of special teams. It's the reason why Dave Tobe has been here for as long as he has been. And generally, I know like last year, a lot of people kind of had some hate for Dave Tobe, really the last couple years because of the punt return situation and whatnot. But, you know, you look at this situation, I really do feel like the Chiefs have always valued it, and you're getting some guys here who I think could be very effective in special teams. And I think, yeah, they, with this new kickoff rule, the Chiefs are absolutely going to get guys who have that good combination of speed and a tackling ability who are going to hit hard, because there's going to be a lot more returns this year in special teams with the new kickoff rule.
This is where people want to see where Zammit plays, the rugby player. That could be a guy on your coverage.
He's going to be the guy that we're going to see a lot in camp, and certainly when they do those drills for punt return and kick return, he's going to be someone that I think a lot of people are going to be watching because of that skill set.
This is a thumper, man, Jaden Hayes. I like that pick a lot. Last year, my guy was Shamari Connor when they drafted him.
He loved him.
I love the fact he led Virginia Tech as a secondary member his 1 year at Virginia Tech, that he could do this. But a guy that could play a line of scrimmage, and again, the safety role is kind of changing on what you do, and you want him to cover in the slot, which he does, and he lines up the line of scrimmage. So he's one of those hard hitters that you throw in there, like a Dan Sorensen used to do in a certain role where you put him up near the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, that's why I think that guys like that are just going to become more valuable. And then my actual question to you, we're getting into the later rounds, right? Who is still there on the board that you think Kansas City will be interested in, and who do you think Kansas City, you know, will be looking for as of right now before, you know, we get to our later picks?
Well, they went the first defensive player here with Jaden Hicks. You look at Brendan Rice.
I mean,
you know, still listed, a wide receiver.
Listed top available right now on ESPN. I really love him. Let's see. Cam Hart is certainly an option there at corner. Though you wonder now the fact that
my guy Quantez is still there, man.
Yeah, you love Quantez Stiggers. I think now, I mean, maybe if they want to go defensive tackle, Mekhi Wingo, a guy that, you know, many people thought could be a day two guy, he's still sitting there on the board. He's an option as well.
Christian Jones for your offensive line,
right?
Out of Texas.
I'm not too keen. I know a lot of people are kind of pounding the table for Chris Abrams' drain. I don't think that's gonna happen. I don't think he really fits what they like. I think he's a little too small for them. But you know, certainly if they decide to go that route, I mean, he's looking like he's gonna be there for a little bit. And then, you know, one guy that we both have talked about, Anthony Gould, wide receiver out of Oregon State. If they do pick another wide receiver, I'm kind of feeling Brendan Rice, or I'm kind of feeling Anthony Gould. Either of those two guys getting picked at the wide receiver spot for them in any point the rest of this draft, I'll be incredibly ecstatic about what they do here.
And Johnny Wilson, if they do take him to Florida State,
yeah, I'll be going with that
transition
too, yeah,
to the tight end. But Gene Bell, the actual tight end at Florida State as well. But you got Jared Wiley.
Yeah.
Equation.
I think at this point now, it's like, I'm kind of out on the tight end now that they went and got the kid from TCU.
So. Running back, you still got Audric Estime. By the way, did not run well at his combine. Shaved some time off at his pro day. You know, he's kind of leery about that. Kamani Vidal still there. Frank Gore Jr. still there. Cody Schrader still there. At the running, Dylan Johnson from Washington, that you're not a big fan of.
Yeah.
Still sitting out here too.
I mean.
Mayan Williams, Ohio State, but they're not going to go Ohio State.
One guy that a lot of people like, Dylan Lauby, is still sitting there.
That's your dark horse small school guy there.
Yes, that is the dark horse small school guy that's
out of New Hampshire.
Out there. Yeah, out of New Hampshire. He was the Chiefs, like the draft nerds are really loving Lauby there as a potential late round pick for the Chiefs. But yeah, I mean, look, I get, and Cam Hart just came off the board. Last two picks, Jordan McGee, linebacker out of Temple, got taken by the Commanders, and Cam Hart
so we got 17 from, corners
from Notre Dame got drafted by the Chargers there. So little bit of a run on some of the guys that we just talked about here. But yeah, man, like I'm cool with the way that they handled the fourth round, because I think when we talk, when we hear them talk about their approach and what happened here in day three, I guarantee you they're going to say, hey, the board didn't quite work out the way we wanted it to.
Well, just remember certain things. A couple years ago, they drafted a guy named Mike Dana, who did not go to the combine in the fifth round. He said, who's that? Who's that? What's the production? Well, 6.5 sacks. They signed him to a 3-year contract this year. They do damage in these middle rounds. Like Veach, this is Veach area. But again, as we played earlier with Veach talking about with Nil and how that's changed things and how it's kind of thinned out between rounds 5 through 7 at this point as we transition into the fifth round. Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, said, hey, they've had trouble filling out depth as far as the fifth round is concerned.
So someone on the text line said, you know, I know the Chiefs are going to be fine this year, and yet I feel like we are losing the back half of the draft. Would rather had alignment on either side of the ball instead of these particular skill players. So many good options available. Hope I am wrong. What a yawn. I would have loved for them to take a guard. Like I've been saying, I've been pounding the table saying you got to take a guard at some point here. You got some good guards left. Christian Mahogany is available. Javion Cohen is still available. Two guys that we were talking about.
Mahogany's the best.
Yeah, we talked about Cohen a lot during the season as well, because they had a pretty good line there in Miami. Like I 100% get it, and I absolutely would love if I could make a pick instead of the Jared Wiley pick, I would have taken Christian Mahogany there with that pick. But at the same time, maybe the Chiefs are looking at guard situation and there's a guy that they like later on the draft. They like, or maybe they feel Mahogany's going to fall even more and maybe they can get him this round. Maybe they think that if something doesn't happen with Kingsley Suamataia, maybe he moves into guard. We've talked about that. You know, I think there's a lot of options on the table there. So I'm not panicking quite yet. Again, this is a depth pick more than anything. You're not talking about drafting a starting guard. You're talking about maybe for next year he'd be a starting guard. But this year, at least for 2024, it's not a situation you panic on.
They're pick 152 right now. Don't forget the Chiefs do have that 1/5 now, the 1/6 round pick. And they'll have a pick in the 7th round. They did have 221. They've moved back, though, through the trade. They were picking the first pick of the 7th round. They've changed that.
Yeah, so, I mean, at this point now, where exactly? Because I think the board's starting to really dwindle as far as, like, talent goes. I still think wide receiver is pretty strong. You kind of look at the wide receiver room. You have Brendan Rice, Malik Washington, Bub Means, you know, your guy still there. Jamari Thrash, a guy that a lot of people liked at the Senior Bowl, still sitting out there along with Anthony Gould. You know, Taj Washington, one of the other USC wide receivers that Caleb was throwing to, he's still out there. A lot of people liked him as a day two guy potentially. So you still have options at wide receiver if you really wanted to tackle that. Running back situation I still think is pretty good. I mean, outside of that, I mean, Christian Mahogany, maybe they like Satanoa Laomea, another one of the guards who's listed as the top guard available right now on ESPN over Christian Mahogany, though I kind of like Mahogany and Cohen a little bit more. Maybe they go defensive tackle. Mekhi Wingo still there. Leonard Taylor III, who was a fringe first round for a while, he's still sitting there.
Just give me the one guy, man. Give me Quantes. Just give me the one guy.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book. on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, so we'll take a break here, and when we get back, we'll continue this coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft. Back in here on the NFL Draft coverage for 610 Sports Radio, Kristen Ocero, Jay Binkley. I think Chris Ballard is listening in on us.
On
our
my
broadcast,
guys, man.
And he keeps taking the guys that we like. He drafted A.D. Mitchell in the second round with the 52nd overall pick. And here at pick 142, he took Anthony Gould, wide receiver at Oregon State, a guy that we both really like.
Yeah, the Chiefs had a top 30 visit with Anthony Gould, 4.39 speed, can also return as well.
They've taken three guys that we really like, because Lia Tulatu in round one as well.
Hey, they're giving Anthony Richardson the weapons, man.
Maybe he's a proud listener of the character.
I think
podcast.
So. I think
you never
I
know.
Think,
his son plays think, quarterback at Kansas. You know,
yeah, I think Chris area. Ballard likes to listen to
Maybe
our
on his
broadcast.
Way to work,
and we don't criticize A.D. Mitchell because yeah, he was at a problem. Oh, with that
he ain't got no
conference.
Problem with us. We ain't talking no kind of trash about A.D. Mitchell, man. Like, yeah, we love A.D. on this show. But yeah, and then the Bills right before the Colts, they took Cedric Van Pran Granger, a center
Imagine
from Georgia.
Imagine putting that on the back of the jersey.
Oh man, that's gonna be long. You remember, especially like you remember back in the day when like you'd have a lot of the players with the same last names,
yeah.
So they'd have to put like the first two letters of the first name or like the first letter of the first name if it was different. Yeah, no, it's that name is gonna. They're gonna have to make the text smaller so they can fit it on there.
By the way, one of the receivers we really like, Brian Thomas, who was selected in the first round.
Yep,
one of my favorite moments. They interviewed his parents about growing up, where he came from.
Sandra, how far has this family come?
We came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I love that, man. How far does this come? We came from Baton Rouge.
We don't need your cliched interview sports interview questions here.
Baton Rouge.
We don't need your cliched sports interview questions here.
It's my favorite response.
Man, Anthony Gould gone. I'd be cool with Malik Washington. I'd be cool. Really would love Brendan Rice here. So there's still some options at wide receiver. You look outside of that. I mean, Johnny Wilson's there, but I'm not sure if he fits. Bud Means would be interesting. Jamari Thrash would be interesting.
Much thinner between 5 and 7 than you've had
right,
in previous years.
Right. And so I think at this point, if we're looking after 5, if we get past 5, and I know there's Cornelius Johnson's right there, and I know some people really like him. I'm not the biggest fan of Cornelius. Once you get past that, to be honest, I think I'd rather them like compete for like Ryan Flournoy as a undrafted free agent. Like it's starting to get a little thin now. We've seen the run on wide receivers kind of
keep this in mind. Undrafted free agents typically are paid more than 7th round picks.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes they'll get pretty decent amount of guaranteed money. I mean, we kind of saw it with Denarik Prince last year. He had a nice little deal there that he absolutely would not have been able to get if he would.
Denarik was right there to be a returner too, man. That thing slipped right out of his hands.
Slipped right out of his hands, man. It's just very unfortunate for him because in camp it was looking a little hype for him.
You'll have him here this year. He'll be at camp.
Yeah, and you know maybe he'll go out there. Maybe he'll go out there and he'll win that spot and he'll be the third running back as opposed to them drafting one. We'll see. The Falcons just took J.D. Bertrand, a linebacker out of Notre Dame. A lot of Notre Dame guys have been going here in the the later rounds of the draft.
We'll get some AFC flavor once the Bears pick. It's the Broncos, Titans, Broncos again, then the Raiders.
Yeah, and then so right now we're at pick 144, and the Chiefs have pick 159. We have less than 40 minutes left in the show, so I'm not confident that we're going to be able to get that fifth-round pick in for the Kansas City Chiefs, unless they decide to move up, which do not be shocked.
Vern will keep you posted later on pregame. Just kidding.
Yeah, and it looks like right now the Chiefs have their area scouts doing their very first of their press conferences talking about the picks here for the round four picks. So we are going to be on tomorrow's show. We're going to be on from 9 to 11:30. We will have that audio for you. All the scouts' press conferences, any audio from Veach as well, talking about these picks. We got you covered tomorrow morning.
And also, we're going radio host in Rochester, New York. My guy Gene Battaglia.
Gene Battaglia.
What the hell? The Bills send this whole thing off with Xavier Worthy. The meltdown in Buffalo continues. He's taking all these calls and bad, bad, bad Buffalo fans. He wasn't happy himself. Check in on that. Try to maybe snake some coaches in here as well.
Yeah, we're going to try to see if we can get some of these coaches on.
We've got a couple requests out for Sonny Dykes and
for what's his name, Washington State coach. Yeah, so if we can get some of those guys, we'll have them on tomorrow as well. Tomorrow we're going to nerd out tomorrow morning on the NFL draft.
My favorite Washington State coach I ever had on was Mike Leach.
Oh yeah, you love Mike Leach. I mean Mike Leach. Did you send him barbecue sauce too?
I did, and that's why I have the Washington State hat when he was there. Then I had a Mississippi State one when he went there, and I lost that one. No leg.
Oh. You lost in the league. What are you doing?
I tried to collect hats wherever Mike Leach ended up.
And, you really? You got a Texas Tech hat, too?
Well, one's in Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah. You should have just tried to get a replacement, get another one. Like, hey,
that is Washington State, though.
Mike, send me another
one. The Gardner Minshew era.
Yep, that was the Minshew era.
Coach Dickert trying to get him on.
Yeah, so Austin Booker, edge rusher out of Kansas, goes to the Chicago Bears at pick 144. That was a guy that popped off at the Senior Bowl. Didn't quite look as good at the combine. Didn't quite test as well. A lot of people were waiting on that 40 time. I think he ran in the 4.6s. So a lot of people weren't quite as impressed because he looked really athletic when you watched him at the Senior Bowl there.
6'6", 240. He's had 12 sacks this past year, though.
Yeah, he was productive, and he was a guy that that came out of nowhere and had that kind of production.
That's coming from no sacks. Eight, 12 tackles for losses, but no sacks to 8 sacks.
Yeah, he came out of nowhere with that, and so, yeah, it was a huge jump. Yeah, he was transferred
from the Gophers.
And that was a really good pull there for Leipold over there in Lawrence. So it's good to see him go. He goes in the early stages of the fifth round here. Certainly the biggest moves here, Cam Hart going to the Chargers there at pick 140, a guy that some people had their heart set on at cornerback. And then Anthony Gould, our guy, wide receiver, Oregon State, projects as a great slot option, ends up going at pick 142 to the Indianapolis Colts.
I actually like what the Colts are doing. I really like what the Colts are doing. I think Washington's still a leader in the clubhouse for me, but how could you not like what Chris Ballard's doing with the Indianapolis Colts at this point? Again, when Andrew Luck retired, kind of threw him for a loop, but you start off with Latu, the first edge taken, A.D. Mitchell. I love Bortolini. They picked up from Wisconsin as well at center, and then Anthony Gould.
So the Bears actually moved up to get that pick at 144. They traded with the Bills, and they traded their the fourth-round pick that they had and the fourth-round pick for next year to go up and get Austin Booker. So they must have really liked his game, and, I get it because Booker, again, didn't quite pop at the combine, but at the Senior Bowl, you saw the technique there. Very good as a speed rush type. So
he went from about the seventh, sixth round to the fifth.
Yeah, so definitely would he definitely, I mean, I'm not sure he would have been drafted if not for the way that he kind of showed up there at the combine. I mean, at the combine, but the Senior Bowl. So we're getting along here now. We are at pick 145, Broncos on the board. Still got 14 picks.
By the way, here's an update from Sam McDowell, the Kansas City Star, regarding stadiums. Clark Hunt has been speaking today down to the gathered media there at One Arrowhead Drive. He says the Chiefs and Royals, after conversations with John Sherman, will work independently as they pursue their stadium future. So no longer attached at the hip. We now have separation with Chiefs and Royals.
I think that tells us one thing, that the Chiefs are very much in play to go to Kansas, and I think that's the reason why they're doing that. I think the Royals are going to be dead set on staying here in Kansas City, but I do think that the Chiefs now are going to explore all options, including moving to Kansas, and it makes sense that they would do that.
And this from Jordan Schultz, who covers the NFL. Jared Wyatt from Bleacher Report, their NFL insider. Jared Wiley, another enticing, talented weapon for Mahomes, plus this man can block. That's the key right there.
Yeah.
Tied and they can block. And not only, but just like Blake Bell, great blocker, but it would make that, he's got better hands.
Right.
And so you got that combination of a guy that, you know, surprisingly gets you that catch or two, you know, maybe 8 to 10 catches throughout the year.
Yeah. I mean, and not only that, but you get the athleticism paired with the blocking ability because he is a very good athlete. And I think that matters for at the tight end spot because the Chiefs really do like that more athletic type of tight end. We've seen it with Kelce. We've seen it with Jody Fortson. And, you know, the guys like that fit that athletic profile, those are the guys that they're going to really focus on in the draft at that position.
Has Denver not learned their lesson with Mizzou guys and Kansas City guys? It all started with Shane Ray and that Chiefs tattoo, right?
Yeah.
Then they hired Nathaniel Hackett that went as a head coach that wore the Chiefs stuff.
Yep.
Chris Abrams Drain, your newest member of the Denver Broncos. So Kansas and Missouri back-to-back, Austin Booker to the Bears, Chris Abrams Drain to the Denver Broncos.
This was a guy that I liked during the season, but you know, then you kind of look at the size profile, and it concerns me. I thought he was a really good tackler when he was at the college level, but you know, there's a lot of smaller guys in that at that level. He's 5'11". He's under 180, about 178 or so. He's just not big. He's not fast. That was the big thing that really hurt him, I thought, was like the speed profile didn't quite match what you hoped you would for someone that size. And so I think that's a lot of people think he's a slot corner. And I think slot corner's value in the draft, especially this year, is going to be right around here. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why Enoch Rakestraw fell as well, because the size profile matched with the speed. Because I think Rakestraw ran like a 4.640 at the combine. Like that combination of size and speed there, I think that really hurt him. And so if he was going to fall from a potential fringe first round spot to third round, and it made a lot of sense for Abrams Drain to fall.
He was a 4.4 guy, Abrams Drain.
Actually, a 4.4 guy, yeah. So
4.51 was Rakestraw.
Decent speed, but the biggest problem he had, size. Like, you know, being under 180, being under 6 foot at that position, not having the crazy length on the arms like that, that's going to hurt him. So Denver makes that pick at 145. We're at 146 now with the Titans.
And then back to Denver.
Denver has a pick at 147.
Then the Raiders.
Then the Raiders right after that. So
then those Bengals.
Yeah, and we are sitting there right around the 30-minute mark left on the show, so I'm very skeptical we will get this pick in for the Chiefs unless they trade up. I'm not. It's very possible right now. They still have a 6 and a 7, and again, depth in this draft, not great. I could see the Chiefs moving up if they really, really liked a guy somewhere about this spot. But at this point now, not sure where they would go with that pick, because a lot of positions that they would go have kind of been picked apart. Unless you're talking about a wide receiver, maybe they would value a Brendan Rice.
Well, when you get to the fifth here, fifth is usually a player you're expecting to play, you know, be a contributor. Trey Smith, by the way, was picked in the sixth round.
He was.
We still get the sixth round coming up for the Kansas City Chiefs. So, and again, the seventh round, they're picking, 10th to last in the draft. They were first, 221 there, but they pick how many spaces? They pick in the sixth round, pick 211. There's 220 picks in the sixth round.
And we just saw the Titans take Jarvis Brownlee Jr., a cornerback out of Louisville.
That's the 20th corner now.
Yeah. I mean, day one, not great for corner. Day two was really solid for corner. That's where most of the corners have gone. And then now we're in day three here. We're in the fifth round, and a lot of corners have gone in this round now. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that have already gone. And we're not even halfway through the round. So this is a position that's very quickly starting to go off the board again. Not sure the value is here for the Chiefs. Unless they trade up and they really like a guy. So we got to get to a break. And when we come back, we'll continue our coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft. Back in here On the 2024 NFL Draft coverage here for 610 Sports Radio, Christian Nocero, Jay Binkley, closing things out here in the last half hour or so. We got about 25 minutes left in the show. During the break, couple picks came in. The Broncos took Audric Estime, running back out of Notre Dame, who at one point I think you could make an argument was the best running back in this draft class, just from a production standpoint. And then the Raiders took Tommy Eichenberg, a linebacker for Ohio State, the little brother of Liam Eichenberg, who was taken by the Dolphins, right?
Yeah.
In 21.
And Estime to the Broncos ran like a 4.71.
Yeah.
At the combine.
That really
slowed
really
Audric
killed
Estime.
His draft stock.
But he did the pro day was like 4.61 or something. So amazingly shaved time off.
Yeah, probably some home cooking that happened there at the Notre Dame pro day. But yeah, Eichenberg is gone right after him. A guy that did he do anything at the combine? I mean, I think he just got there and he got measured and he got out. Didn't even run, didn't do anything. So couple of guys go within the division here. We got the Bengals on the clock right now. I think their pick is in. You kind of look at how things are shaking out here, and it's kind of a mystery where the Chiefs go at 159. At this point now, you'd think as far as value goes, you'd think wide receiver would be the play here.
But it's thinning out in here as far as, okay,
yeah,
because of the depth. It's
right.
much different than the Mike Danas and Trey Smith and stuff like these guys in the last days. So you just got to kind of figure out, all right, which direction are you going to go? They can throw some darts, but I trust them. Like, I trust them in what they do. Now, for the necessity, you definitely have round one. That's necessity.
Right.
Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, the rest of the luxury.
Necessity, maybe even for this year. We don't know. And Jaden Hicks will be part of the rotation in the secondary.
Yeah.
You can say that for sure.
So, best available listed on ESPN as far as, round five right now. Brendan Rice, wide receiver, USC, a guy that we both like. Christian Jones, offensive tackle from Texas, still on the board. A guy that I thought, definitely impressed at the Senior Bowl.
Play both sides.
Yeah, he can play both sides, but probably more so centered towards the right side. Mekhi Wingo, defensive tackle from LSU. His other two big teammates there have already gone, so, kind of sitting there waiting to see if Mekhi Wingo goes. Spencer Rattler, your guy, quarterback from South Carolina, still on the board. Little surprised. I thought he would go second round. I thought one of the teams, like maybe the Raiders, would go and grab him since he kind of fell.
The Raiders, stop doing this. The Raiders need to stop taking these
We're
guys.
Putting out Gardner Minshew here at the
they need to stop
next
this.
Year. And then Malik Washington, wide receiver, Virginia, still on the board. Johnny Wilson Jr., wide receiver, Florida State, still on the board.
4'5", 240 at 6'6".
Yeah, he's 240 a big pounds. Dude. He's a wide receiver, but again, I think the belief is that he could very well make the transition over to tight end. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., linebacker from Clemson, still on the board. Just like Eichenberg, he went to the combine. I think he got measured, but he did not participate in the combine as far as physical, as far as like the actual measurables go. Then you've got Curtis Jacobs, a linebacker from Penn State. Seems like this is really where a lot of these linebackers are going right now. Sataoa Laomea, a guard from Utah, who's listed as the top guard on ESPN, still available. I tend to disagree with that, but, you still got some options here. But right now, they are very much dwindling here. One name that's surprisingly still out there is Muhammad Kamara, an edge rusher from Colorado State, a guy that a lot of people liked as a potential day two guy, still sitting out there.
My guy Quantez still sitting there. The Bengals have selected Josh Newton. Again, they're trying to bulk up this defense.
Cornerback from TCU.
To pair on the other side of Cam Taylor-Britt, probably, or that in a rotation.
I love
Cam Taylor-Britt. I used to mock him to Chiefs all the time.
Oh, yeah, big
Josh
fan.
Newton.
I was a big fan. I wanted the Chiefs to get him. I will say this. He better not be matched up against Xavier Worthy, because Worthy cooked his ass when they played TCU this year. So, yeah, probably not the best idea to put Josh Newton on him. But, yeah, there's still some options. Jalen Simpson, a safety I like from Auburn, though, now with them getting Jaden Hicks, that some people think is the best safety in the entire class. You're probably not going to go that route there. Jamari Thrash, a wide receiver from Louisville, also an option, as well as Christian Mahogany, a guard from Boston College. Those are your top 25 best available positions. But, really, at this point now, what's your option? I mean, I think at this point, wide receiver, just because of value. I think value right now, wide receiver is where you go.
If it's Brendan Rice.
If it's Brendan Rice, or, I mean, I could get down with Malik Washington, too. Like, Washington's a little bit slower than Anthony Gould. I would have preferred to have Gould over Washington, but I think Washington's a good way. He was incredibly productive.
I still like Bub Means, so we'll see.
I'm cool with Bub Means, too. I like him, too, but I think you look at Malik Washington, and just the production was there.
I'd want Christian Mahogany here.
Yeah, yeah. I would like Christian Mahogany. He would be my pick. Just because I think he gives you what you really would need I think it's kind of a sneaky need in a guard. But yeah, I mean, look at Malik Washington and his value here. Like this year, he had 110 receptions, 1,400 yards, averaged 13 a reception, had 9 touchdowns, only had 3 drops on the entire season. Incredible production. He's not a big dude. He's 5'8", 191, ran a 4'4", 740. So decent speed. But again, this is a slot receiver. This is a small guy going to run those underneath routes. I think he would fit in perfectly with the Chiefs like. Kind of a similar to what you hoped that Sky Moore would turn out to be. But, you know, I think at this point now, you know, you kind of feel like you know what you have in Sky. So maybe go out there and get someone who could be the replacement for that role.
Malik Washington is interesting. 5'8", so it's again that same size we've talked about. A little bit slower at 4.47
yeah.
than what you have at Anthony Gould. And a lot of times, if you go 5'7", 5'8", you really hope for the 4.3, you know, 4.3.
Yeah, you hope the smaller guys are in the 4.3 category or the low 4.4s. So it's.
But.
Him 4.47 is not the best.
But I mean, the guy's a playmaker.
1,400 yards. 1,400 receiving yards.
Yeah, 10 of his last 11 games, he had over 100 yards.
Yeah.
So when Malik Washington was out there and he was a very productive player.
He was a guy that, you know, we talked about on the Moneymaker segment on the podcast during the college football season, I think a couple times, because he was constantly up there with the top receivers as far as production goes, even led at one point.
The real question is, when's Jared Wiley going to be at Camp Pat since the slide over from TCU?
You expect him to get the call to head down to Dallas now.
Once again, the Chiefs, two guys on the first team, all Big 12 team in Hicks and Xavier Worthy.
So it looks like your boy, Spencer Rattler, just came off the board. The Saints took him at pick 150, quarterback out of South Carolina. Man,
now when you say that, I don't want him with the Chiefs.
Nobody. Yeah, he was definitely not going to be a Chief, but you have been heralding Spencer Rattler since before the season started.
Him since Oklahoma or whatever. And I was like, you know, yeah. He showed some good maturity last year and had a productive year, or 2 years ago, and had a productive year last year.
So the last two years, he stepped his game up for sure, but he was a big disappointment when he was at Oklahoma.
When this year was there, he had no blocking this year.
None. And
time to throw.
But yeah, no time to throw, but he did have an NFL wide receiver, a first round pick in Xavier Leggett. So
text line wants Cody Schrader.
It seems like a reach right now. It seems like a reach.
Possibly the seventh you could get him. Maybe the.
Oh, I think you could get him a seventh. I think the way this board is playing out, I think the seventh round is probably pretty good for that.
We saw that running back run in the fourth.
Exactly. And I think because of that and the fact that Schrader's still like, because you look at like, you know, best available listed on ESPN at running back, like you still got Isaiah Davis sitting up there. Tyrone Tracy Jr., Kamani Vidal, Dylan Laube.
Which is funny where we sit, because the leading rusher in the nation, Vidal, and yards per game, Cody Schrader, is still there.
Still there.
Much different than previous years.
Right. You know, and then Cody Schrader's listed as their 10th. And I don't know if I'd put him 10th, but like Vidal, Tyrone Tracy Jr., Isaiah Davis for sure are ahead of him.
This is where NFL teams make the mistake all the time. Can you play football or not?
Yeah.
When you see these mid-round picks doing so well in the National Football League.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of this is like.
This is Puka Nacua territory. Don't forget, he was the third selection last year of the Rams in the fifth round.
Right. Yeah. There's going to be some guys that are taken in this round, next round, and the round after that are going to outperform the expectations that were given to them. A lot of it is because they were able to kind of figure out the technical side, the strategic side of the game, and develop that skill really quickly. But, you know, for some of them, you know, maybe we underestimated the athleticism that they had, and they're actually much better athletes than we took for granted. Maybe the film Didn't quite match up with that athleticism. Maybe there was an issue with coaching that ended up hurting them. So we're going to get to our final break here before we close out the show. You're listening to 2024 NFL Draft coverage here on 610 Sports Radio. Final few minutes here on our 2024 NFL Draft coverage here on 610 Sports Radio. Christian Osero, Jay Binkley. So, yeah, we got about 7 minutes left here before we are done for the day. We will be back tomorrow, bright and early, 9 a.m., going to 11:30 as we continue the draft coverage.
Breakfast wrap-up, man. Breakfast wrap-up.
Yeah, and we will talk about the remaining picks that the Chiefs make. We will not be, unless the Chiefs trade up here right now, we will not be able to talk about who the Chiefs took in rounds 5 through 7. If they take anybody, we'll see. But we'll have that wrap up there. Plus, we will have all of the sound from the press conferences after the draft. The scouting press conference, I think, will be really interesting. I also think that Veach and what he says when they are done today, that'll be really interesting. I really do think that the Chiefs probably wanted to move up in the last round. It just didn't quite work out the way they wanted to. But, hey, you went and got great value. Jaden Hicks, who some people believe was the best safety in this draft class, had a second-round grade on him on many people's boards. You were able to go get him in the fourth round. So you got good value there. You know, and then the other case, you went out and you got Wiley, kid from TCU, and I think you really look at him, and he's this really big, athletic, 6'6", almost 250. He led the FBS in touchdowns for tight ends. So you got a good athlete there. Very similar profiles, very similar to Travis Kelce as far as speed and size. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. I don't want to go out.
It's not your answer for Kelce. This right. is a guy if you have the three.
Exactly.
Tight ends, three.
Well, yeah, let's not go out here and start, oh, he's the next Kelce. But, you know, he profiles very similarly to him. So we'll see how that plays out here as we get into the
be battling with round. Irv Smith.
So the picks that we had that have happened here since we went to break last, Jalen Carley's safety from Missouri. Inus Smith, a wide receiver from Texas A&M, went to the Eagles at 152. And then we just saw Deontre Prince, a cornerback from Ole Miss, get taken by the Jacksonville
now.
Jaguars.
Taking every damn corner about
every
out there.
Corner, man. And look, that was going to happen, I think. I think we knew that, like, day one was going to be really weak on corner, and it was weaker on corner than we thought it was going to be because Cooper DeJean didn't go in that round. Quinyon Mitchell went 22.
Just give me Quantes, man. That's the corner you need. Give me this guy that played fan-controlled
Something
football
Something tells
league.
Me that he might not get drafted, and he'll be
Lane
a priority free agent.
Like a fifth.
Yeah, but, I mean, right now it ain't looking like that.
Chiefs met with him.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they might be targeting him as a priority undrafted free agent.
Give me some Tez, man.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's your guy. I mean, I like Kalen King, but I liked him more as a safety. And so now I'm kind of out on Kalen King. I do not think he's a corner in the league. I think he's a safety.
I would gladly take Christian Mahogany as well.
Oh, I love Christian Mahogany now. Christian Mahogany was a guy that a lot of people thought would be third, fourth round. You could get him in the fifth round. That's great value, I think.
I will definitely take him.
So, Brennan Jackson, edge rusher from Washington State, just got taken by the Los Angeles Rams. So that means that the Chiefs are now 5 picks away from, actually 4 picks now away from being on the clock.
Zuerlein, by the way, had Mahogany in the fourth.
Yeah. So right now you would actually probably be getting really good value for him if you were to take him. And we do know that the Chiefs did say last week when Veach did his pre-draft presser, he did say that they would like to get a guard or a center depth at some point in
the
draft.
And he did everything at the combine but the bench press. I think he did like the 3-cone drill, did everything.
Right. And you know, you don't, if you're a lineman, you don't do the bench press. People are going to ask questions about that.
Yeah, because you'll be afraid you should be in the 10 to 15 range.
Yeah, exactly. If you're under 20, people are going to start. If you're under 25, people are going to start asking some questions.
Orlando Brown's was terrible. Do you remember that? It was like what?
I want to say it was 21.
Oh, it was less than that.
It might have been 16. It actually might.
Christian McCaffrey had a bad one too. Remember?
But that's a running back though. I'm not too concerned. I think it was.
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't really care about the. I think it was like 8 for McCaffrey.
He had 14 reps.
14.
Orlando
reps.
Did. What? You don't want to be Orlando Brown.
Well, you remember how many reps?
He could use the long arms excuse though.
Of course. You remember how many reps? Old boy.
He should have not done it. He should have not done it. He should have just skipped it.
You remember how many reps Leo Chanel did on the bench at his pro day?
Oh, it was in the 30s.
31.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's and not only that, Kingsley Suomataia, 31 reps.
31.
So
Malachi Corley, that receiver, is 27, baby.
Yeah, which is crazy for a wide receiver. I mean, if you get over like 15 for a wide receiver, that's a crazy number. So to do 27 for a wide, that's, and he's a big boy too.
That's why Orlando
still.
Brown slipped. He was going to be
first. Oh yeah, that's why he slipped because
his combine was like every category. Right. He was like almost dead last.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, and then he ended up being a pretty decent left tackle
for starting in a Super Bowl for being that kind of combine.
You know, pretty decent left tackle. Yeah, you'll take that. But you know, now things are getting a little interesting here. Last few picks here before the Chiefs make their pick. Make sure you tune in tomorrow morning, 9 to 11:30 a.m., right before Vern goes on with your pregame for your finally winning some baseball game, Kansas City Royals, who are actually competitive this year. We're enjoying that here on this station. Make sure you tune in to that. But 9 a.m.
Jeremiah Trotter, by the way, to the Eagles.
Yep. I think that's a good pick there for him. So we'll be on. We have all the sound.
A lot of surprises.
All the sound from there. We're going to try to get some of these coaches. We are absolutely going to.
We're going to effort.
We're going to effort to get coaches. We cannot guarantee that. What is it? Sarkisian's going to be on the drive, right?
I think Monday.
Monday, yeah. On the drive. So make sure you tune in there. For Jay Binkley, for our producer Quentin, who's been doing all the hard work over there on the other side, I'm Christian Ocero. Thanks for listening to us on our draft coverage here on 610 Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.